You're listening to ESPN 100.3 FM, KLRZ, La Rose, New Orleans, and the River Region.
It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hello, sports fans.
Well, hello there.
Local sports, national sports. The GCAT has got you covered.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Time to tee it up and let it fly. It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hour number three, Brian and Gentile goes, "Are you feeling better, man?" I'm like, yeah. It's not green anymore. I had atomic green phlegm. It was really nice looking. Almost yellow highlighter kind of look.
That's real appetizing for lunch.
Well, I mean, you know, it was about as thick as lunch.
I might not eat for a week now. Thanks, Gus.
Hey, look what's in front of us.
The Gus Kattengill diet.
Just starting on ESPN. And there's Rachel and AD talking about his exit. Awesome. Joey, you know what to do to make me happy.
It's Friday, Friday. Gotta get down Friday.
Green? No, it doesn't.
Green Phlegm and Rebecca Black. That's what this man's all about.
An Oktoberfest. You know, my wife keeps trying to tell me, you need Z-Packs, you need all this medicine. I'm like, I need an Oktoberfest. An Oktoberfest will make me feel better. Really do. I just don't know which one. You walk into the store now and there's seven or eight different types of October. I don't know which one to get.
All right, if you say an Oktoberfest, a beer makes me happy, you kind of get your man card back because you just said, although, Rebecca Black makes me happy.
There's some grocery stores
you lose your man card for comments like that.
Right? You can build your own six pack, and then you can do that. Maybe I'll do that. Maybe I'll try an Oktoberfest from a handful of places.
Oh, I thought we were talking about Rebecca Black when you said, okay, my bad.
You know, I wouldn't mind seeing if she has a fall edition of It's Friday, you know?
An Oktoberfest of Friday?
An Oktoberfest edition of Friday.
It's Oktoberfest.
Yeah, it's Friday. It's Friday. The leaves are
maybe
falling.
She can,
it's
maybe
Friday.
Maybe that'll be her next hit, Oktoberfest.
It's beginning to look a lot
like Friday. See? There you go. There's another one.
Oh, boy.
Gus, oh, that's from her Christmas album?
That's from her holiday. The fall classic. Whoa. The fall album. That's what it'll be called.
I know every.
Then you can encompass Halloween. You can encompass Thanksgiving. You
it's
can
on
encompass
8-track only.
I'm just shocked that she didn't come out with Saturday.
I think she did. I don't
know. Give her a week.
Yeah, I see what Joey did. Give her a week.
Nice, Joey.
800-998-1003 is the number to call. I've been talking a lot about AD and a lot of the different interviews. We played a bunch of different sound. Love to get your takes and opinions on that as well. We got a massive game coming up. On Saturday, LSU and Georgia, as we will be talking with Skylar Green this hour as well, plus Marlon Favorite and also Robert Meacham walking in here as well. Former Saints receivers, part of the podcast with Marlon Favorite as well. Just go ahead and have a seat over there, Robert. How you doing? Nice to see you again, man. And, you know, one of the things, obviously, that I think it'll be fun to kind of look into here a little bit going into the game next, you know, tomorrow will be the chances and perhaps that LSU and Georgia will be one of those top games.
Oh, I think it's going to be probably the game of the weekend. This could be, I'm hoping, and I think our guest from Georgia, Greg Pohl, had it right. If Georgia's able to run the ball early on LSU, I think it's going to be a long day for LSU. I'm hoping that they're able to stand up to that running game of Georgia, because if they are, I think this is going to be kind of that same type of game that it was against Florida, where LSU and Georgia are just going to go at it till the fourth quarter until somebody makes a major mistake, and that may decide this game.
No doubt. 800-998-1003 at ESPN Radio NOLA as well, if you'd like to chime in and have be a part of the conversation. Robert Meacham joining us here at Deuce McAllister's Old Saint Kitchen and Tap at r_Meacham17, right? Still the way to follow you over on Twitter?
No, got off social media.
Oh, you got off of social media? You don't do that anymore? It's funny you say that, because what's the reason?
Well, one of the reasons was I'm going through a divorce. So
okay, well, that's definitely a reason.
It didn't help at all. It made things worse.
Right.
I think social media is a place for marketing. A lot of times people wake up in the morning, oh, look what I have for breakfast. A lot of people do that type of thing just for recognition.
Right.
I think social media was made to market yourself and to be able to find old friends.
You know, it's funny because Sean Payton last year, Sean Payton, I want to say, was it last season or the season before that, kind of put like blockers in the locker room to sort of do that. Obviously, you were a part of the team, won the Super Bowl with them as well. He wasn't a very big fan of, I guess, players being able to go out without the team's consent or kind of express their way or talk about it. And I only bring that up because you've seen Michael Thomas, you know, just this last week going back and forth with Josh Norman into the wee hours of the morning in a Twitter tirade or a Twitter war. I got to imagine Sean Payton probably wasn't too happy with that.
Me knowing Sean, you're probably right. I don't think he was happy about it, but I think he knows the player. And sometimes that plays a part in it as well. If you're just a guy that not making plays like Michael Thomas, it's going to be a lot of issues with you, for you. But since Michael Thomas make plays and he's fighting for every yard after the catch that he can possibly get, I think Sean knew that motivated him and made him play better. Some people can't play better once they're talking trash and somebody gets in your head, you're done. I think Mike feeds off of that.
That's what I was going to say. It's almost like I heard somebody refer to it as like, hey, you're the guy that's covering me, so I got to destroy you. I got to own you. I got to make sure that you have a terrible day and it does that. Because you mentioned the work ethic, and that's why I'm not concerned by it. I'm only concerned that it cost a flag on the Drew Brees touchdown, right, from that aspect of it, which is probably why Sean got a little upset by it. When you played, who would you say was the toughest DB, just trash-talking-wise, where you're like, man, stop talking? Who was the guy that just annoyed you to have to play from the talk standpoint?
That's kind of tough because, you know, everybody talks, you know.
How much talking does take place?
Oh, that's probably 90% of the game.
Is it really?
Because when a DB, like say a quarterback throws a bad ball.
Uh-huh.
And the DB deflects it. But you beat him.
Right.
He was beat. It was a touchdown. And he lets you hear it like, you really covered me. No,
right.
You didn't. And that's the part that really aggravates you. I think that all DBs got short memories.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you would have to be a DB because I'm going to catch the ball on you. You're not perfect. You know, and I think a lot of parts of the game for a DB is to get the edge by keep talking to you. So Josh Norman was a guy that loved to talk, but he could back it up as well. Revis never really said anything.
Really?
No. Now, Richard Sherman, he talked to some guys, and some guys he knew it wouldn't
faze him.
It wouldn't faze him at all.
I know we interviewed Lance Moore a couple of weeks ago, and he said Richard Sherman was that guy that he couldn't stand. And let's say Richard Sherman, let's say you take him deep, maybe 75-yard touchdown pass. You burn him. What is he going to say to you? Is he just going to ignore you and walk away, or is he going to say something?
He may ignore you, or he might, oh, that was luck. You won't get it again. It won't happen again. And a lot of times he's talking to himself. You know, he's not really talking to you. Because he's trying to go over it in his head. How did he beat me? You know, what move did I go for him to beat me? So a lot of times I think it's that part of the game as well, is mental. So I got to get in your head, you know, for the next time you might beat me, but then you might drop the ball because you was ready to talk trash to me after you caught it.
I never thought about that until you just brought that up. But they always say defensive backs have to have the shortest memory of anybody on the field. I never thought about that aspect, that maybe a defensive back is trying to convince himself that was luck. I'm still good.
Oh, yes.
You think that has a lot to do with the way that Richard Sherman's and those guys act on the field?
Oh, yes. Like, I take my hat off to Lattimore this year. You're going against the top receiver every week. I'm talking about hands down every receiver that's made a lot of money. You didn't win against them so far this year.
Right.
And throughout the rest of the season, you're going to go against them. So I applaud him for taking the challenge and then saying, okay, Mike Evans caught a few balls of me. But he came back the next week and played even harder and more smarter. So a lot of times it might be a big-name guy and catch a lot of balls on you. But then the next week you go against another big-name guy and he don't catch that many balls. Did you do your job? Did I get in his head? Because now I got to watch film and see where I did this, I did that. The little things, it goes so far in football.
Speaking with Robert Meacham, world champion receiver for the New Orleans Saints back then, man. It's crazy to think that the Super Bowl was, I say long ago. I think to so many people in the city still feels like yesterday. Does it feel like long ago for you when you were still playing?
Talking with the fans and still living here? No.
Right. But Especially with Washington having just played, right?
But as a player, it feels like, since it's not out of my system, I would love to go back and play.
Uh-huh.
So it's harder to watch it for me. You know, like
right.
Fans can, you go to a bar and you try to watch it just to, you know, be normal. And everybody, you see how everybody reacts to the game and you can't really react to it because you see a play before it's about to happen and you know it's going to happen. And then it's like, you got to be quiet or you show too much emotion and it's not the regular emotion. It's
right.
Like that competitive emotions.
So you can still see it when you're watching the game. You can still absolutely.
Oh,
especially with this offense. How much has it changed from your time with Sean and Curtis Johnson, who came back, obviously, to where it is now?
Why would you change something that wasn't broke? He broke the record twice. So why would you change anything? Only thing you would change if it was a different quarterback. You would change it for his style.
Got you.
I say Drew's style is made for this offense. You know, Teddy Bridgewater or Mr. Hill, whichever one, I don't know. I mean, that's if Drew goes back and play 4 more years, then they got to wait. You know, but if he decides to walk away from the game after winning the Super Bowl, then the offense is going to change.
Having played in the system and obviously seeing what took place on Monday and you catching a lot of passes and touchdowns from Drew, what was it like from your perspective to see him break that record?
I was honored. And my girl was like, do you know you're a part of history? I said, well, yeah, but, you know, it's normal to us, but it was – to see him break the record and know you played with him and then see all the hard work that he put in over the years,
right.
it made you feel blessed as well, because it's like you're a part of it, you know, in so many ways. And then you could talk to your children and tell them, like, I played with him, and they can enjoy that moment as well.
You know, you said it, and a lot of the players this week mentioned the hard work and all the extra work we've seen in a practice when we cover, right? The time that he spends throwing receivers, but we don't get to see inside the hallways and inside the room. You have been there. Kind of take us a little bit behind the curtain for the fans that are listening right now, because the phrase, you hear it all the time, hard work, the work he puts in. What exactly you think makes him great when it comes to the preparation standpoint?
Well, he does everything extra. You know, like, he watches film from, he might leave the facility at 9 o'clock at night, but he's right back up there at 5 o'clock in the morning watching film again. Now, he's watched first down, second down for maybe 3 hours before anybody gets in the building. And then at the end of practice, when you go into meeting rooms and have to watch film with him, it's like listen to a violin, you know, because he watches every position. He watches the offensive line. He watches the defensive line. He's watching for every technique to give him an advantage. So we can make a big play, or if we need 2 yards, I know what to change the play to get the 2 yards. I know how this guy is going to play if the tempo is very fast. I know if I need to slow the game down.
Huh.
His mental toughness separates him from a lot of other quarterbacks, because he's mentally tough. If you ever see him, Lord forbid it, this week, next week, but if you ever see him throw an interception, you see how mad he is at himself, but you always see Sean never go to him.
That's true.
But the reason being, I can't get onto you. Yes, I'm mad and frustrated as a coach, and I know you're mad as a player, because I know what you're wanting to do. I know what you're trying to do. So for Sean, it's one of those things where I got to let him get it out himself. Now, other players, I can talk to them. I can fuss at them. You know, but for Drew, I got to let him stay in his zone. Because if I let him stay in his zone, he's going to bring himself out.
Gotcha.
For my other players, I have to know what buttons to push. Mm-hmm. It was so funny standing next to Shockey on the sideline. That was the most amazing part for me because it was – he never stopped talking until we got in the game. Because he was mad. He always wanted to play every play. Even right. if he was barely healthy, he still – why are we over here? And he throw us a ball. And for me, I'm like, keep talking.
Yeah.
You know, because we're going to get a ball.
No, it's funny. You wanted to pass. He wanted to pass. I know Pierre Thomas wanted to run the football. Everybody else wanted. There's only one ball for it to go around, and those offenses were so prolific. I know Jay's got a couple of questions for you. We're speaking with Robert Meacham live at Deuce McAllister's Old Saint Kitchen and Tap. Skylar Green coming up here in a little bit as well. Let's take the quick break. Come back, Robert. We'll discuss a little bit more as well, because I'd love to get your take and opinion, too, on what you see with a guy like Michael Thomas. And really, your receiving core group that you had with Lance, yourself, Devery, and Colston, and how that compares to what you're seeing right now with the possibility with the Tre'Quan Smith, the Cameron Meredith, and obviously with Michael Thomas. So, love to get that comparison when we get back. We'll be back. You're listening to Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans. What you think you saw, you did not see. So
don't blink, be what was dead is now going black. Is it time for new carpet? Don't pay retail. New Orleans Flooring has partnered with Dalton Carpet Mill to bring you carpet straight from the source. 30-ounce FHA solution dyed carpet for 79 cents a square foot. 50-ounce first quality solution dyed carpet, only $1.50 per square foot. Keep your rentals in top shape and your home comfortable with better priced carpet from New Orleans Flooring Distributors. For the best price carpet, call 504-249-6394. That's 504-249-6394. Or visit on LNA Road off Airline in Metairie. Online at nolaflooring.com.
New Friend Building Materials has been around since 1955 and is growing every year. We continue to be a proud family company in our second generation ownership and working on the third. We do our best to cover all your building needs while providing top-notch customer service and priding ourselves on not letting you leave without a smile. From small birdhouses to hotels and apartment complexes, there's no job too big or too small for us to handle. Our four convenient locations to serve you include Cutoff, Thibodeau, Belchase, and Slidell. So come stop by and see how we can help you and have a blessed day.
Are you looking for a delicious meal and a great spot to watch all the games? Deuce McAllister's Old Saint Kitchen and Tap at 132 Royal Street right off Canal is that and a whole lot more. With outstanding Southern Coastal cuisine dishes such as shrimp and grits, more than 50 craft beers on tap, 15 TVs, craft cocktails, and breakfast, lunch, and dinner, Old Saint is not your average sports bar. Enjoy the 2-for-1 draft happy hour from 3 to 7 weekdays and make your reservations through Open Table or visit online, oldsaint.com.
Hey everyone, it's Gus Cattingale, and what a great time to stop by New Orleans Harley-Davidson. They have the greatest bikes of all time arriving daily and available with 1% financing. New Orleans Harley's also giving away tickets to the World War II Air, Sea, and Land Fest to anyone who test rides a 2019. And on Fridays and Saturdays, you can put your name in the hat for the motorcycle giveaway that will be drawn during the annual Halloween party Thursday the 25th. Get out to New Orleans Harley and get in on the action. While supplies last, financing with approved credit, see dealer for details.
Stuck in a state of falling behind? Struggling to keep up with your kids, finances, and insurance? Let State Farm agent Ashley Barrios and Cutoff help you to simplify and get to a better state. Because with Ashley Barrios handling your home, auto, and life insurance, you'll have more time for everything else. More money, too. Because adding State Farm policies could mean earning discounts worth up to 40%. Call State Farm agent Ashley Barrios today and get to a better state with State Farm.
Adventure, intrigue, mystery, romance.
It's a storm of entertainment that brings down the house.
Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Cattingale on ESPN 100.3 FM and ESPN 1003.com.
Sitting in the back seat, gotta make up my mind. Which seat can I take?
There it is.
Rebecca Blackstad.
Oh, is that what this is?
Gotta Friday.
Oh, I like this.
Friday. So dead.
It's a little different version, Bob Dylan version
gotta
of Friday. Does that make it a little bit,
her dad.
Little bit better? It's not her dad. Stop it.
Sounds like him.
You know what? Ridiculous. Speaking with Robert Meacham, of course, world champion Robert Meacham of your New Orleans Saints. We're going to talk a little bit about the comparisons, and Jay, I know you got some questions here as well, but Brian and Gentile had something interesting he wanted to ask him. And again, it's, you know, Robert, it's not that you didn't make a lot of plays for the Saints. It's not that you didn't have a lot of catches and stuff, but probably one of your more famous touchdowns got shown a ton this past week as the Redskins were in town, and it's the old interception from Drew Brees that turns into a touchdown by Robert Meacham in the 2009 Super Bowl season, where a lot of people said, aha, destined for a world championship. But I, listening to you at the top of the hour, you meant to do that. You had a little game plan going into it. Kind of share with the listeners the play that a lot of people will never forget.
Well, like I said in the past, DBs are not used to carrying the ball, and he had the ball in his hand like a loaf of bread. So he had two blockers in front of him, and I figured if I could split them and get this ball, the only person that was behind me was Devery. That's the fastest person on the field.
Right.
Nobody else was going to catch me after that. So once I took it, I knew. All I got to do is outrun Devery at that moment.
Who was the fastest between you and Devery, by the way? I know we all talked about it a lot.
In the 100, uh-huh. Devery, all day long. Uh-huh. But in the 40, I probably would get it.
You know, Robert, tonight, high school football, people always ask me what's the difference between high school and the pros. Kids tonight are going to run a 12-yard post route, and they're going to put their foot, it doesn't matter where. You get to the pros, the difference between you putting your foot on the inside of the hash mark and the outside of the hash mark to Drew Brees, how big of a difference is that to him?
Who?
Curtis Johnson.
Well, what's different from the pros in high school, I always tell people, it's the mistakes. You know, in high school, you can, like you said, you can make 10 mistakes. And you can run a wrong route and quarterback make a play. In the pros, if I got a step on you, I'm open. And that's the difference. In high school, I can beat you by 10, 15 yards. I'm open. In college, I can beat you by 5 to 7 yards. But in the pros, it's one step. Because every quarterback is so elite that it makes it so much harder for a defensive back where he could have great coverage.
Yeah.
Like Crowley had great coverage. I forget what game that was. He had great coverage. And he did everything right that you're supposed to do as a DB, but it was a great ball, too.
Yeah. I mean, back shoulder throws, all those different things.
Back shoulders, you can't stop it.
You can't do it.
If you throw it right at the back of the defender's head, there's no way he can stop it, because if you keep pumping your arms and keep looking straight, he has no idea that you're turning to catch this ball.
Right. And I guess that was the thing that always marveled me, and I mention this a lot in having been on the sideline for two of those seasons in 07 and 08, the accuracy of Drew Brees, the timing, and the stickler. Because I can hear Curtis Johnson still, and you probably still do.
Coach, I still
CG,
hear
him. Right?
I still
I
hear
mean,
him.
If you don't hit what you're supposed to, you're doing it again. Sean Payton, do it again. But it's because of that. And I guess.
And it's for Drew, too. Because Drew, as well, Drew will tell you, we're going to run it again.
Right.
And what you're going to tell him, no, because you're tired? No, you're not. You're going to go and run it again. And you're going to run it again. And then if you have to do it half of it, just not the whole route,
right,
just so he can see where he visualized for you to be. See, running routes, yeah, you get open. But at the same time, I had to learn how Colson caught so many balls. It was because certain things he did, it was something so small, but it's how he turned his shoulder and gave himself to Drew. Now, when you're faster, it's like, okay, I'm going to do that too. But you're out the window.
Right.
So it's, you can't, like for Ted Ginn and for the Rook this year, it's going to be a lot harder for them too because they're faster. See, for Michael Thomas and Cam, they're not as fast as Ted Ginn and the Rook.
Uh-huh.
So they got a little bit more time with their routes. Where if I got Ted Ginn on the field one-on-one by himself, I got to let the ball go a lot earlier. Where gotcha. With Michael Thomas, I can hold it for a second and let him really do what he do.
Interesting on how each receiver depends on how I deliver that football in that situation. When you look at the group of receivers that you played with, obviously with Colston, Lance Moore, and Devery, just really there. I know you had other receivers in and out, but as well, compare that to maybe the potential. Because I was excited when Curtis Johnson got back. You look at it. Traquan Smith, you saw the flash this Monday, what he could do. We saw it at training camp, and you were at training camp a couple times, so you saw what he can do. Cameron Meredith is a big body as well. You know what Michael Thomas can do and get. How would you compare that group that you played with this group? Any similarities?
It's a lot of similarities, but the only similarity that I haven't seen yet is Ted Ginn and Trey Kwan on the field together. I want to see how the defense reacts to that, because that way you put Mark in, you put Kamar in, you put Ted, and you put Trey Kwan, and you put Michael Thomas in. What do you do? How do you cover that? As an offensive guy, I would want to see, would you play a zone or would you go man? Because if you go zone, Mark is going to run it down your throat.
Okay.
Now, if you go man, I got two of the fastest guys on the field that can clear it out, or one can clear it out for the other one, or I can have both of them clear it out and Michael Thomas does a drag route, or I can have Kamara one-on-one with a linebacker. If I get a defensive back, if I bring your nickel in or your dime in to cover him, I got your fourth worst corner on the field.
Right.
How do you cover this? That's a defensive coordinator's worst nightmare, because I got Drew. And then if I put Hill in the game, what do you do? How do you cover this? Because he can run.
Right.
So, and he's accurate. And he's not a scary quarterback that's like, oh, I'm just getting my shot. Let me go make a play. No, he's making plays positive plays.
I like that. He might, just excited me for the rest of the season offensively.
Just listening to that comment right there, you sounded like an offensive coordinator. The passion's obviously still there for the game. The knowledge is there. You can tell in talking to you. Have you had any thoughts about going into the coaching profession?
Yes, I did. And in order to get like a good check for it, you got to have a degree. So when I left college early, I didn't get my degree. So I have a few core classes to take, so then I can go back, because I would love to help young children. I wouldn't want them to have the feeling that I have right now. You know, I would want them to let it all out, get it all out. Because another thing that helps with coaching is you actually become a lightweight father figure. You know, because a lot of kids don't have that. So that's precious. And that's a lot of time that you have to be devoted to your guys. And I had to keep asking myself, are you really willing to let go and do that? Because you still have fire to go play, would you be able to give the kids your all?
Right.
Like, would you? I wouldn't have a problem telling them, but how do you show them? Because everybody's not able to just say, oh, 2 + 2 = 4. Yeah, I said it, but did you see it? A lot of people are visual. And nowadays, a lot of children are visual because of social media.
Right. Tablets, you name it, all of that stuff too as well. I hear you. Robert, 30 minutes flew way by incredibly too fast. You say you're still in around the area, still live in New Orleans.
Oh, yes.
Well, I'll tell you what, we're not going to be a stranger, all right? We're going to make sure we get you back on here on the show, and we'll talk a lot more. I got some ideas, man. I think we can have a lot of fun, because I'd love to hear you break down some games, maybe on a Monday, you know, talk about that game and kind of preview and all that other stuff. So,
I would love to do that.
I tell you what, man.
Because it would be very interesting to me to see how I actually break it down.
Okay, well, I tell you what, let's plan on that, man. I will definitely talk to you about here during the break, but want to get Skylar Green on, so let's take the break. Joey, we'll give him a buzz, because tomorrow it's LSU and Georgia. You know all about Georgia being a Tennessee ball.
Yeah, I only lost to him once. Just once.
You still remember that?
Yeah, I remember.
Sure. But, okay.
But I remember. Yeah, I lost to LSU once, too.
Yeah.
But, like I said to Big Fave, I don't think LSU is going to win this game.
Uh-huh.
But I would love for him to win this game for Coach O.
Okay.
Because I read his story, and when he was coaching with us for the Saints,
right.
You know, you get to hear him, you see his passion.
Yep.
He really cares to motivate young kids, young youth, to be better. You know, and
interesting.
You may not be able to understand some of the stuff he says.
That's right.
But you can see the passion.
That one season as D-line coach, man. We'll talk a little bit more about that next week. I promise. We'll have you on next week, and we'll talk a little bit about the Saints a little bit more in depth. This year's team.
Yes.
Robert Meacham, folks, thank you so much, man. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right, quick break. We come back. Skylar Green on ESPN New Orleans.
It's the 50th anniversary of Southland Dodge, Chrysler, Jeep, Ram, Fiat, and Homa. Hurry in for a great deal at their summer clearance event. See their impressive lineup of new commercial trucks and vans. Southland Dodge has the perfect vehicle for your business with Ram's long-lasting new pickups or their efficient new Ram work vans. Choosing the right one should be easy. Get more for your business with a new Ram truck or van at Southland Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram Fiat at 6161 West Park Avenue in Houma. Here for you yesterday, today, and tomorrow.
Join the winning team with Polo Auto Air in Houma. They service all RVs, mobile homes, including fifth wheel, campers, refrigerators, AC units, leveling systems, accepts all extended warranties and some factory warranties. They do work on AC automobiles, specializes in the repair and services for over 30 years. They specialize as an RVIA certified tech on recreational vehicles. Polo Auto Air, North Hollywood Road in Houma, 985-876-1934.
Archie Manning here for Thibodeau Regional. In the Manning household, we're pretty serious about sports. And just like the team at the Sports Medicine Center of Thibodeau Regional, we're also very serious about sports safety. As the region's leader in First Comprehensive Sports Medicine Program, they've been in the game longer with certified athletic trainers, fellowship-trained sports medicine physicians, and neuro-sports-trained experts. So play hard, play to win, but play it safe with the Sports Medicine Center of Thibodeau Regional.
Advanced Eye Institute in Cutoff is your hometown eye care provider. Dr. Darby Chasson is here to serve the eye care needs of your entire family. Full-service eye medical and vision services are provided in a friendly atmosphere. For the latest in designer frames to advancements in astigmatism and bifocal contact lenses, call Advanced Eye Institute at 985-632-2884 for your appointment today or visit their website at visionsource-drdarbychasson.com.
I'm Casey Gistler, the voice of high school football for ESPN 100.3, inviting you to join me and Marlon Favorite every Wednesday at 6 p.m. for Prep Weekly, presented by De La Salle High School. We'll break down key games, give you interviews with coaches and players, and updates of all the schools throughout South Louisiana. If you love high school football, tune in to Prep Weekly, presented by De La Salle High School. You'll find it every Wednesday evening from 6 till 8 on ESPN 100.3.
Got a hot take?
Everybody listen up.
Let's hear it. Call us at 800-998-1003. Or tweet us at ESPN Radio NOLA. Now, back to the sports hangover with Gus Cattendale.
Gotta make up my mind. Which seat can I take? Because it's Friday, Friday.
There it is. Yeesh.
Got to get down on Friday.
Really? Wait a minute.
What?
Did you say that's bad? And you listen to Rebecca Black and enjoy that?
It's no Rebecca Black, that is for sure. Marlon Favre, wow. Big Faye 504 here with another future NFL prospect. It's your kid right there, man.
Yeah, man, he's getting pretty big on me, Rob. This was the first time Rob
getting
had
big.
Seen him in like
getting big. What are you talking
almost
about?
9 years. And he's like, man.
Wait, how old is he?
Trail's 14.
Okay.
I
heard 9 there. I'm like, that's a 9-year-old?
Since he was about 9. That's the last time they've been around each other.
I hear you. I saw the picture you sent me yesterday. Or was it this morning, man? You and Skylar Green. You guys work together, obviously. First, tell everybody what you guys do together, and then we're going to talk to Skylar about, of course, the moment as we get into LSU and Georgia.
Well, man, me and Skylar was blessed and fortunate enough to train some of the best athletes in this area and help develop them. We have a whole bunch of kids out at U-High. We have guys down here in the New Orleans area that we train. And, you know, I usually take the linemen, offense and defensive linemen. Sometimes I'll take the whole defense, and Skylar takes the offense. And we don't rush. See, well, it's tough. You know, I was a high school football coach at Jay's old school, right? Hello, somebody. De La Salle. And we don't – you don't get a lot of individual time with the players. So we take time out in the off season to do some work with them, and during the season we watch film and kind of critique them game on, and they've been doing well. As a matter of fact, U-High is the number one team in the state of Louisiana, like 5 or 10 in the country.
Something like that, yeah. But we'll get it. Good job there, Marlon. No, let's bring in Skylar Green. Skylar, man, how you doing, bud? Thanks for joining us today.
Good. Thank you for having me.
And for sure, can you believe it's been 15 years since you guys took on Georgia?
Man, time doesn't wait for nobody.
It's nuts when you think about it, right? I mean, guys, September 20th, 2003, and look, it's sort of like I was talking to Robert about it. I know he made a lot of different plays and huge plays for the Saints with that play against the Redskins. People, it goes to mind. The touchdown catch, 34 yards, man. How many times do people still come up and talk to you about it?
Oh, I get asked that question often, or I'm being told often. Every time it's something to do with LSU football, I remember that Georgia catch. I remember that Georgia catch, and that's how people kind of remember the Skylar Green.
Well, you know, one of the things, Skylar, when you look at that game, too, and Marley and I, we talked about it on Monday, it was a close game. It was a game that was back and forth. Both teams obviously highly ranked going into it as well, but it was a game where, man, by possession, by punts, by everything, which just it seemed like every play mattered. It was almost like an NBA playoff game, you know, in that situation like that where every possession mattered. How do you recall and remember that game?
Most definitely, every play did matter. And you kind of felt it towards the end of that game when the running back ended up taking that screen pass for like 98 yards. And it kind of took the air out of us. And we kind of felt like, you know, that could be it for us. And then again, we kind of just wanted to – I know us as a football team, we'll never hang our hats on a play like that and giving up a big old play like that. We're definitely going to come back with an answer. And being the leader that we had in the huddle, and Matt Mark, he drove us downfield, and we got in position to put ourselves in position to win the game and still continue to play for a national championship. And today we still talking about it.
Man, Skylar, this favorite, man. I was just off air talking to Jordan, and he asked me what it was like playing against Georgia. And the one time that we did play Georgia, we lost. This was 2008, my last year at LSU. So I guess talk to our listeners here at Sports Hangover about that atmosphere tomorrow. Like, what it's going to be like as a home game. It's the first time Georgia came down here in a while. Just give us a description of the atmosphere tomorrow.
It's going to be wild. It's going to be hot. It's going to be real chaotic out there at about 2:30 tomorrow evening. I'm looking forward to it. I hope everybody else is looking forward to it. But I tell you what, I just hope our Tigers are jumping at the bit when they get ready to run out there on that football field. And we get those dogs running back on in the locker room with their tails between their legs.
You know, Skylar, one of the things that you were talking about, that game being so close as well, and I think a lot of people expect tomorrow to be one of those games where it is going to be a battle. To understand that mindset where, you know, your touchdown came in under 2 minutes. You know, their big play came just over 2 minutes or under like that as well. Mm-hmm. The game can be won that late. So to understand, it's almost going to be like a prize fight, right? You're going to take some punches.
You're most definitely going to take some punches. You got to be able to punch back and get up and keep fighting. And that's the beauty of football. And if it was just a blowout, who all would just want to just sit there and watch a blowout? You have people walking out of the stadium. But when you give yourselves, when you give the fans a game to watch, and that's what makes classics. And that was a classic football game.
Skylar, this is Jay Hargrave. I know a lot of LSU fans keep always saying the same thing. I wish this game was played at night. I wish this game was played at night. Do you guys on the field, when you come out and you're playing the number one team in the country or the number three team in the country, do you all pick up a difference in the fan base on a 2:30 game as opposed to a 7 o'clock game?
I tell you what, being that this game is at 2:30 at the same time that we played Georgia in 2003, I kind of feel like it's going to be the same situation. It's going to be a packed house. We're going to be loud as ever. We're going to give those guys problems on the offensive side of the ball. And all I can say to our Tigers out there who are listening, be ready tomorrow. Because I will. And we want you guys to back our football team up 100%. And cheer those guys on and have those guys with the energy that they need to have those dogs calling back in that locker room.
All right, man, we'll let you go with this. I know you got a meeting coming up at the top of the hour, Skylar, but when you look at that play and you go back on it, you got behind two Bulldog players there. And, you know, you have the scramble near side, and, dude, Mark took a hit. you know, and deliver it there as well.
That's a tough
throw. The ball is coming. I just want to take us there. The ball's in the air. You pass the guys, and you turn around, and there it is. It's on its way. Are you like what I probably would have been? Don't you dare drop it.
That was the first thing in my head, because previously I had 3 drops in the game. And then on that same drive, I had a big catch from Matt Marks to kind of get us down there. And then we had to play the game winner. When I made that catch, I just wanted I kept saying to myself, just don't drop the ball. It's the reason why I went all the way to the ground, making sure I secured the catch all the way down.
You did, man. That is for sure, man. Skylar Green, thanks so much, man, for joining us. I know you got a meeting here at the top of the hour. We'll let you get to it. We're going to keep Big Fave over here. We'll diagnose and talk a little bit more about LSU and Georgia. Thanks, though, man. Don't be a stranger. Come down with him, man. He hogs all the lunches here that he can get.
Right. You got to split some of these ribs over here by Deuce as well for me, man.
Yeah, you're right. I appreciate you guys. Thank you for having me.
Sounds good, man. Thank you. That is – hold on. Hey, Skylar, you still aware? Okay, he hung up. Sorry, Robert. Robert was going to give him some business, a little Vols versus Tigers.
Talking about some
there.
Trash talking.
And
huh?
Tell you what, that play, though, folks, if you remember it, here it is as we go to break.
Some of the physical, it's just more of a space game. You see a lot of college plays more in the pro game.
You know, one of the things
I remember
that you,
when I started.
You look at, of course, going into that game, and we'll play it coming out of the break. It was incredible to kind of just remember what all the different elements that went into it, and then just, it was a surprise, right? I mean, when he caught that play.
That was my unofficial visit to LSU.
Was it really?
It was, man, and that almost sealed the deal. It was real early in the recruiting process.
That almost sealed the deal?
Man, Skylar Green is very responsible for me going to LSU and not going to USC.
No kidding.
No kidding. True story.
All right. Well, we'll talk a little bit more about this game because you're part of the LSU Sports Radio Network. So your job tomorrow in the pregame show will be doing what you're going to do here in the next 7 minutes. Don't go anywhere. It's the Sports Hangover. You got 7 minutes. That's all you got. You don't have 3 hours like you do tomorrow, all right? You're on ESPN New Orleans.
Workers are among the most important members of the Gulf Coast workforce. When a person working offshore or on a vessel is injured, the effects on their family can be devastating. At the King Firm, we are proud to have experience with these types of cases and make it a priority to see that our clients receive just compensation and are treated fairly. If you've been injured, don't play the game of claims with the insurance companies. Ring the King at 504-909-KING or 888-241-8766.
Are you looking for a delicious meal and a great spot to watch all the games? Deuce McAllister's Old Saint Kitchen and Tap at 132 Royal Street right off Canal is that and a whole lot more. With outstanding Southern Coastal cuisine dishes such as shrimp and grits, more than 50 craft beers on tap, 15 TVs, craft cocktails, and breakfast, lunch, and dinner, Old Saint is not your average sports bar. Enjoy the 2-for-1 draft happy hour from 3 to 7 weekdays and make your reservations through Open Table or visit online, oldsaint.com.
Deciding when and how to retire is one of the most important financial decisions you'll ever make. Do you take a lump sum? Do you have to pay taxes on this money? How do you invest during retirement to make sure you don't outlive your income? What health insurance plans are available? With such an overwhelming number of questions, the most important decision you can make is to seek the advice of a trusted, qualified advisor. Chris Godet has served the area for over 12 years and has the expertise to work with you to find the right solutions. Give Chris Godet a call at 632-6049.
Judge Walt Lanier has been district court judge in Lafourche Parish for the last 16 years. He is running for the open seat on the First Circuit Court of Appeal on November 6th. Judge Lanier humbly asks for your consideration and vote for judge on the First Circuit Court of Appeal on November 6th. Paid for by the committee to elect Judge Walt Lanier.
Oh, big talker, ain't you?
A man that likes to talk.
Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill on ESPN 100.3 FM and ESPN 1003.com.
All right, we bring in Big Fave. Marlon Fave, right at Big Fave 504 is the way to chime in. Marlon, you need to add agent to your... I had no idea you and Robert were that tight. And I think we just... we might have just made sure that he joins us on Fridays and on Mondays on the Sports Hangover.
Each and every Monday and Friday.
Each and every Monday and Friday to break down Saints.
That's a really good compliment because now it takes less pressure off of me to watch the receivers and the DBs. Rob can give y'all that perspective, and I can just stick where, Jordan?
Inside what the trench.
Your hello,
zone.
Somebody.
Speaking of which, you had Robert on your podcast, Inside the Trenches, and you said it's definitely a must-listen.
It's a must-listen. I appreciate Rob, man. I totally thought that the interview was just going to be about football, and he let me into his personal life. He really did. He opened up about some things that he's been dealing with, and I do encourage a lot of young athletes and older athletes to really listen because you got a guy like Rob. Me, Jordan, man, I didn't get drafted. I did spend a decent amount of time playing professional ball, 6 years, four bouncing around the NFL. But, man, Rob gives another perspective. You know, he talks about the things that he learned along the journey, the obstacles he had to go through, stuff that we deal with as football players emotionally and mentally, you know, that a lot of players aren't comfortable talking about. So I appreciate Rob for coming on yesterday and just letting it all out.
It's interesting you bring that up because I do think that is something that a lot of fans maybe don't think of a lot of times, you know, of what happens inside that locker room, what happens outside that locker room, and how it does affect it. And I think athletes that come out and are able to kind of express that and say, hey, look, learn from this one way or another, is beneficial. I've always been very open with my life, and because I think I don't know if you learn something from it, but I mean, I'm always, you know, I'll be like, here's my kid, here's my wife, this is what I do. I mean, this is who I am, and because, man, like I said, in today's day and age, there's just so much nonsense, and I don't feel like enough people get to know people. And I've always said this before. This is like my rule of thumb that if everyone did the Kevin Bacon thing, but at their house,
right?
Like. I call it the compass rule, right? Directional. North, south, east, and west, right? You should probably know the person directly in front of you that you live across, the people to the left and right of you. It wouldn't be bad to the person behind you. I'm not saying gotta have them over for barbecues, but just say something, because if you do, remember, they're watching your house, you're watching theirs. If, you know, they're across the street, I mean, I become great friends with the neighbors across the street. I know the people to the right and to the left of me, like, they're, you know, like Jordan and Jay. And it makes you feel like if everyone did that on the block, then that entire street knows one another and everyone looks after one another. If something's funny, you know, someone says something, you take care of one another. And it's really not that difficult. It's just the compass rule. Just one in front, one behind, one left and one right. And if everybody did that, I think we'd be a little better.
It's better for the listeners, too, especially when you get guys like Rob that's played in the game and doesn't mind expressing everything on and off the field that happened. Because for the fans, all you can judge off of, and a lot of folks have opinions about players, is the guy you see inside the helmet. You don't really get a chance to see the guy that's off the football field with his family, trying to maneuver in life and see how that because it's once folks are able to look at it from that perspective, I think they'll have a much better view of the hard work that goes into. We don't just, you know, put on shoulder pads, catch ball. It's tons of stuff that go in. I was listening to you guys coming over here. Rob was getting into detail what happens inside the locker room, you know, what it's like to prepare and get ready with a guy like Drew Brees.
Yeah, he was telling about Drew is, and that's why I asked him that, because he's been with them. So I can assure you, as he comes on, we're going to talk a lot more about that, obviously, and as the team gets in. All right, so LSU and Georgia, Tigers were ranked 10th, and Georgia was ranked 7th on the Skylar Green play, and it was remarkable. I still remember that, man, like it was yesterday. And you were there on the field watching it, and you said it was a huge issue. So when you heard Tiger Stadium like that, Nick Saban has said that game to him changed everything.
It did. It really did. And Skylar was expressing this to me the other day. We were talking. He said, man, that win was so important because it really put us on that national pedestal. Because Georgia was ranked high. I mean, they had a high-powered defense with like guys like Thomas Davis, David Pollock. I mean, that defense was loaded. And of course, they had good offensive play and running game. But one thing I remember about that game, it was an unofficial visit. So we started off on the field, And Jordan, you can appreciate this. We went to the student section. Man, that student section is lit. When Skylar caught that ball, it was an earthquake. Like, we literally got an earthquake in there. And it just really, man, it, for me, I've been out to LSU a few times before, but I know this dude, Skylar. Like, me and Skylar wasn't cool back then like we are now because obviously the grade difference. He was a senior. I was a sophomore in high school. So once I got to LSU, man, that was my ride back to New Orleans a lot of the time.
No kidding.
Skylar, man, and just a really good person, but just humility, man. He really, this dude don't, I tell him this all the time, Skylar doesn't realize how much of a superstar he is and how this guy's played quarterback at LSU. He's lined up in the Wildcat at LSU, reverse at every position, man. And he was a, you know, just an athlete in high school. But one thing I remember about that Georgia game, man, was it did put LSU on that national pedestal.
All right, so you look at this game. Both teams are, you know, being looked at a little differently, obviously, since that game. Georgia's number two in the country, man. You're going to be talking about this tomorrow on the LSU Sports Radio Network, part of the pregame show. When you look at them and you've studied this week, what are the strengths? Why are they number two to you, other than the fact that they were the national championship game last year?
You want me to tell you the truth?
Sure.
They didn't play nobody, Gus.
Oh,
that's why they're number two.
Listen to Jay.
They did not play anyone yet. They didn't. I mean, if you look at this schedule, who did they play? What I mean, I think they beat Missouri. So this is honestly going
to—it's the Missouri Tigers.
The Missouri Tigers. Let me say that correctly. But if you look at it, this is going to be Georgia's first test as well. LSU's went through the ringer. We've played Miami, a team like I call them like Georgia. I think Georgia, the running back position much better. Defense is off the chain, but they were ranked 10th in the country, and then we had to take on an Auburn that was ranked. I want to say Auburn was what, 8 at that moment, right. 6 or 8 at that moment, and we beat that team. The energy, we talk about energy a lot. I said it on Monday, Jay, the energy that was in the stadium this last Saturday for Florida was insane. Tim Tebow was there. He got honored. Crowd was in it. They had the 2008 national championship team on the sideline. That does something for the players. I know this personally, Jordan, because last year, this was the Auburn game last year at LSU. It was the whole 07 national championship team. And you remember how that game was in the first quarter. When we went down on that field and those dudes saw us jumping up and down, all these national championship rings on and all these players who won all these games that they heard about, it did something to them. So that helped Florida.
Hey, real quick, I'm going to throw you in the trenches, Marlon. The thing that concerned me about the game last week was the 200 yards rushing with Florida. Part of me thinks that it's the lack of depth on the defensive line for LSU showing a little bit. Part of me thinks maybe Dan Mullins figured something out. He ran for a lot of yards with Mississippi State last year. He did it with Florida this year. Do you see some kind of problem with the defensive line that maybe they're just wearing down?
Man, that's a really good question, Jay. I ponder myself about that too because we're struggling right now on the defensive line. We're not excuse me, making clean tackles a lot of times. Some of the times we didn't get after the, we had zero sacks. They had five sacks. The team who wins the sack battle wins the game. You ruffling the leader of the team, the guy that's responsible for putting on sports. So to answer your question, I do think it had something to do with I feel like it has more to do with guys adapting to how the defense is ran versus those guys not being skilled because they're only rotating three up front and they rely a lot. Kelavon Chasson is really missing on the scene, man. He was the number one pass rusher coming in. Michael Divinity, if you looked at it before the season, he was in all the base packages. So they mainly use Michael for the run stop, but he had to step up his game and get after the rusher. So I just hope this weekend we're a little bit creative. Jake Fromm isn't a bad quarterback. He's a national championship quarterback.
All right, we got about 30 seconds here, Marlon. How do you think it goes tomorrow?
I think we win. I think after that loss against Florida, we've humbled ourselves. We're not undefeated. It's at home. Shoot, they got Skylar Green out there as the honorary captain.
Oh,
so that should be big time, man. So I think we win. Let's go ahead and call it 24-17.
Who you got?
I'm going to go – I want to pick the Tigers. I'm going to go Georgia by a field goal.
I'm going LSU.
Okay.
I like it.
I hope I'm wrong.
Right. Jordan, the intern, says LSU.
Okay.
All right, at Big Faith 504, and, of course, tomorrow on the LSU Sports Radio Network, thanks to Brian Gentile. And Robert Meacham, we'll hear from him on Monday, the next Friday here as well, man. We'll have some fun with him. Enjoy Matt Moscone after further review. He's up next on ESPN New Orleans.